tweet at TodaySOR.
Evelyn O'Rourke is with me. Evelyn, you've been to the family courts again. Heartrending cases held in camera, but you are allowed under restriction to report them. What have you got this time?
That's right, Sean. And we just want to say we're aware, of course, that it's midterm break, so maybe some smaller ears might need a little bit of protection during this report, because just the first one case that I want to talk to you, Sean, about, Judge Furlong was hearing this case, and the court was told here that a grandmother is minding her daughter's child, her grandchild, in her home because the mother is addicted to drugs and shoplifts to feed her habit and is unreliable. And she has served prison time in the past, and the granny's come to court because she's trying to protect herself and the child from the mum. And she says, look, she's very difficult to have in the house. For example, she fell asleep recently with a cigarette in her hand and burnt the quilt. She's a regular drug user, and though the granny has warned her not to take anything when she's in her home, she does take tablets, so is regularly stoned off her head, as she described it. The daughter's promised many times that she'll give up drugs and she'll go to rehab, but the granny's given her chances, but it hasn't worked out. And the granny said, look, it's not fair on this child. They don't deserve it.
And the granny has let her again and again stay in the house, hoping her behaviour will improve.
Yes, she said that she lets her stay and then she has to ask her to leave and that she's now somewhere else. But she was back the other morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, Sean, trying to get into the house. And she said, look, the guards are great. They know her well. If they see her coming out of the house, they move her on. So Judge Furlong said to her, look, I'm thinking of a safety order of 2 years. What do you think of this? And he did point out to her that a safety order is not a barring order, so it wouldn't stop her from actually having permission or access to the home. And the granny said, look, I think it's a good idea. It could give her the time to see that the granny is changing. And she said, I'm not willing to put up with this behaviour anymore. And she also added that she wasn't surprised that the daughter hadn't turned up for the hearing, as she doesn't do mornings, was the quote.
Yeah, and the grandmother, I gather she gave additional evidence about the erratic behaviour of the daughter.
Yeah, she said, for example, she turned up a few weeks ago to take the child out, but the granny said no, she wouldn't let her go because she knew the mother was under the influence on the doorstep. And Judge Furlong sympathised with her and said, I am sorry for the situation you're in, but if she does go into treatment, I can always lift this order. And the granny said, look, that's a big if. But she added that since she had obtained the protection order a few weeks ago, the daughter hadn't done anything since then, and it had allowed them a little bit of breathing space. And she said, I'd like to take care of her if she tried. I've even gone to meetings with her. And Judge Furlong again sympathised with her, and she thanked him and went off with her paperwork into her bag.
Gosh, grannies can be great, can't they? And it's a tough thing to have to take on now. The next two short cases, both involving domestic violence, and I suppose a small sample of the cases you would have heard this week, Evelyn.
That's right. The first case, a mother talked about being assaulted after Valentine's night out, and Judge Cashin was hearing this case, and she was actually in court, Sean, with a black eye. And she said that on the morning after Valentine's night, she had woken up and her partner was assaulting her. They have a baby. And she went on to say that he had assaulted her the week before too, but on this occasion at 8 a.m. he started hitting her and accusing her of going out with other men. He kicked her so hard, she told the court, that she fell to the ground and was knocked out, and she got a black eye during that assault. And she then said that he threw water on her to try to wake her up, and she'd later gone to hospital, and she had that hospital report to present in the court. And she told the court that they're now that they are living together, but she didn't want him near her now, and that she's planning on moving back to relatives, and that she just doesn't want to be in the house anymore.
Right, and she was looking for a protection order. That's but right. The judge wanted to establish the dad's whereabouts.
Yes, he's the mum said, look, he's living with a family member, I don't know who and I don't care. And she went on to say that she was moving out of the house, and I suppose this is implications possibly if she was looking for a barring order. She was confirmed to the court that she was moving out of the house as such. She said the house is half emptied already, that he's welcome to it, and she told the judge that she was going back today to finish emptying it, but after that she would not be back there. So Judge Cashin then ruled and said, on the basis that you are leaving this house, the appropriate order here is a protection order. Then she asked the mother about access, and she said she wanted to keep the child as far away from him as possible, so having satisfied the threshold, she was granted a protection order.
Yeah, and other cases then you had safety order applications?
That's right. This was Judge Coolican in Court 20. And in this case, the parents had crossed safety order applications. Not unusual to see this, Sean, in situations where a relationship has broken down. And during a hearing like this, the judge will often say that they are noting that the relationship has broken down, but they're going to be looking for evidence that there are additional reasons for concern over the safety and well-being of the parties, rather than the phrase you kind of hear is rather than the usual wear and tear of a breakdown over a relationship. So it's quite a high threshold, as both sides parties can put their sides across, then they're cross-examined. And in this situation, both parents had their own barristers representing them, and the mother was first in the witness box. And she told the court that she'd applied for a protection order first before dad had come to court. As she said, I'm in fear of him. She said he can be grumpy and loses his temper, and he verbally abuses her, calling her names like a slut and accusing her of going with other men.
Now, I gather things came to a head before Christmas, and the mother described one particular night when a fight had broken out between them.
Yeah, she said they started having an argument one night at around 8 o'clock after their daughter had gone to bed, and it went on till 4 o'clock in the morning. And it started with Dad, she said, trying to take her phone, and it ended up in a physical scuffle. And she said that he'd grabbed her phone and deleted threatening messages that he had sent her, and that phone got cracked and actually was handed into the court as evidence. She said the fight moved on into the kitchen area, and that she was standing next to the sink and he was at the other end of the kitchen, and he'd pulled a knife from the knife block and said that this family could go the way that other families have gone, which she said she found alarming. And she said that on other occasions they'd had fights and she'd had to leave the bedroom, sleep on the floor or in the car, and at this point she's left the house and she's relying on a charity for help as they are technically homeless.
And there was talk of a document she had signed the day after the fight. What was that about?
Yeah, she said that after the fight he'd fallen asleep eventually, and then they'd woken up a few hours later with a document he wanted her to sign, and it was about their daughter and how she couldn't take her out of the jurisdiction. And she said she had signed it, but she claims that she signed it under duress. She said she then went on that morning to bring the child to school, and when she got home he had packed her clothes and had taken her house key. She'd gone off and come back a few days later, but had slept on the couch with her own keys and her phone in her hand, afraid that he might take them again.
So the dad's side of the story then?
He said the fight had started because he decorated the house for Christmas when she was out, and when she got back she was giving out, saying it was a terrible job. He said that she kept following him around the house, blocking doorways, had slammed doors near him to hurt him, and he denied most of the allegations that she'd made about the knife, the phone and the threats. The one thing he said though was he had taken the house key, but he said that she had packed up her own things, that she'd announced she was leaving. But the mother's barrister described it to him as controlling behaviour and asked how was she expected to come in out of the house without a key, and he said he'd be there, he could let her in or out. And he also said that she had drafted the document. And the court was told that the mother had secured the protection order in December, the dad had then moved out, and the mother's counsel put it to him that he was still calling into the house when no one was there, leaving drawers open, leaving cups around the house just to show her he'd been there. And he said, it's my right to be there, we're co-tenants, my clothes are there, and she doesn't have a barring order.
And Judge Coolican's decision?
She struck out the dad's safety order application and said, whatever has gone on between them, I am aware that a mother had to sleep in her car. She's now technically homeless with a child, so I'm satisfied that she has reached the threshold for a safety order, which I'm granting for 6 months, and they headed out the door.
And your final case, another hearing for a safety order with both husband and wife in court.
That's right, Judge Furlong hearing this case, Sean. And this application all centred around a night when the couple had out before Christmas and they were both out socialising together. And the mum was first into the witness box, and she told the court that she had successfully obtained a protection order against the dad in December, and they were now back for that fuller hearing for the safety order. And she told Judge Furlong that on the night in question they had gone outside to a nightclub, and then they'd stepped outside and they'd had an argument about jealousy because he thought she was flirting with other men in the club. She described that he hit her with his fist and knocked her to the ground, and she then said he'd gone looking for a taxi for them and they went on home and things were quiet then. And she said he loses his temper when he's drinking and he drinks a lot of weekends, and this was not the first assault.
And then the judge wanted to establish the injuries that she had suffered during this argument.
Yep, she said that she'd been left with black eyes and that she'd split her nose on the pavement when she fell down from the assault. And she said they still lived together in the house with the child, but that since she'd obtained the protection order he had behaved better, but she still wanted an order in place and wanted the existing one extended.
And then the court heard from the husband.
He said they'd gone out for the night, and Judge Furlong interrupted and asked who was minding your child, and he said that his mother, the granny, was at home minding the child. And then he said that the husband had indicated earlier that everything his wife was saying wasn't 100% accurate. So Judge Furlong said to him, you've heard everything your wife has said, that she was assaulted by you and hit by you, but she is not proceeding with a barring order. So what do you think for continuing a protection order? Are you agreeable to that? And the husband said yes.
And then there was some additional evidence required from the husband in this case to finalise details of the order.
Yes, the judge said to him, your wife has alleged a serious punch. I need your reaction to this to assess the appropriate period of time for a safety order. And the husband said, the first thing was it wasn't a fist. I hit her with my palm. We were both drunk. She wanted to go back inside the club and I didn't, which is why I called a taxi. He added, I didn't hit her with a fist. I slapped her. And the judge then asked, did she fall down? And he answered yes. As he was given his consent to continue with the order against him, the order was extended to protect the mother for a further 2 years, and the couple thanked the court and they went out the door together.
Evelyn, thanks indeed for that. We'll have more music with Paul Harrington after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.